Hi, I'm Anne.
And I'm Judy.
And this is Track Changes.
We are two editors.
And this podcast is your next best writing tool.
Hey guys, if you can't recognize my voice, this is Anne. I have a pretty bad cold, which is part of why this is coming out kind of on the late side today. But let me tell you, it's worth the wait, because this is an interview with Tim Beals from Credo Communications. Tim gives all sorts of inside information into how the world of publishing works, your publishing options in terms of self-publishing and traditional publishing, and what he does, hybrid publishing. And we also talk about marketing and marketing effectively. So I'm really excited for you guys to listen to this. And I'm also excited for you guys to listen to this because I went ahead and I bought better recording software. And everything sounds a lot nicer. So I hope y'all enjoy.
You talked about it being a custom publisher. Is that the same term as a hybrid publisher, or how do you differentiate yourself from other publishers?
It is. Yeah, that's a great question. I try to situate everybody's potential project going in one of three directions. The thing that most people think about when they think about publishing is what I would call traditional or legacy publishing. And that would be the big publishers, at least in the Christian world, that would be Zondervan, Tyndale, Thomas Nelson, IVP, David C. Cook, the big publishers that are either in Nashville, Grand Rapids, Chicago, or Colorado Springs. Most of our publishers are there. And on the agenting side of what I do, we work with about 45 different publishers. Most of them in the U.S. and Canada, and some in the U.K. That's what most people think about. That requires getting an agent. It requires doing a proposal, getting your samples done. In the case of fiction, having your whole book written, and then pitching to those traditional publishers. On the far end of that is what I would call self-publishing or DIY. You really do it yourself. You figure out how to get it edited, like you guys do. Mm-hmm. You figure out how to get the cover designed, how to get the manuscript laid out. You do all the marketing and take care of all the details. And you become kind of the general contractor for your project. That's a very low-cost option. It's not a no-cost option, because usually you pay something for some of those services. But typically, it's a few hundred dollars for a DIY project. Where we situate ourselves is right in between traditional publishing and self-publishing. So we do a lot of things that the traditional publishers do. In fact, we work with a lot of the same editors, a lot of the same designers. Because we've been on that side of the desk, working in traditional publishing, we understand the marketing publicity disciplines and the things that have to happen after a book is released, take care of all of the scheduling and costing and printing and uploading to Amazon and making all of those things possible for our authors. It's like self-publishing in the sense that there is a fee for each of those things that we do. And what we typically do when an author approaches us is to assess their work, provide a proposal for what we do, a schedule for when that would happen, and then that author has an opportunity to make a decision whether to move forward or not. So I would say one of the big differences between what we do and what a number of other custom or hybrid publishers do is that we relinquish all rights to the book so that we don't charge an extra royalty. Once the fees have been paid, It's entirely the author's book, and they get all of the financial reward on the back end. So that's, there are some other differences too. We're usually faster to market, and we're just leaner and able to be a bit more nimble and responsive to authors' needs. So those would be a few of the differences. But yeah, so you've got traditional publishing, self-publishing, and custom publishing, what we do at Credo House.
Yeah. And I'm going to add from my perspective as someone who has clients who have worked with you that your marketing is much better than traditional publishers' marketing right now. You've been ever able to move with the changes in the way that books are marketed much more quickly than traditional publishers have. And I would say that if you're going to publish a DIY book that sells, you're still going to pay $2,000 in editing, at least. If you really want it to look good, you're still going to pay for a good interior designer, a good exterior designer. You know, you can do it for a couple hundred dollars, but you want one that sells. You need to pay for all of the stuff that you guys put out there. And I, you know, I've talked to some of my very successful self-publishers, and they're paying as much as you have quoted for your services. I mean, I would say that it's very, and those are the books that have really gone far and done well. Because there is a difference between publishing a book and publishing a book people read.
There you go. Yeah, no, that's so true. And I think there is that quality control. And if no one has ever done it before, especially, it can, the learning curve is so steep to figure out what you need to do and when you need to do it in order to stay out of the weeds and get out of trouble. Since we've done it thousands of times, we can do that in a way that's efficient and keep people out of trouble and keep them moving in a very positive direction and do it quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, your turnaround is much faster than self-publishing. Yeah, for sure. Right. Or traditional publishing, if you want your book out there fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Most traditional books are taking at least 18 months, often 2 years or more. And if it's a children's book, it can be up to 5 years. Mm-hmm. But we're doing in a matter of weeks or months what it takes years for a traditional publisher to do. Yeah. And that's why we're doing a lot of authors who are doing both traditional publishing and custom publishing. Some projects just make more sense for custom publishing, and others make more sense if they have time to wait. So they're doing both, and that's working really well for them.
Okay. Are there genres that you that you're more inclined to work with than others, or are you not particular about genre? Yeah,
there, our sweet spot is what I would call thoughtful nonfiction. And we're working with a lot of pastors and professors and professionals, people who are kind of leaders in their field. We do some textbooks. We do lots of children's books and love children's books. And we're doing some fiction, but not very much. So we can do the whole gambit. And are equipped to do all of those things with experts in all of those fields.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask a question I know an answer for, but can anyone hire you, or do you have a application process?
Yeah, the best thing for us is for someone to go to our website at credohousepublishers.com and fill out the author survey. Very simple to do. It can be done in a matter of minutes. And then that author survey comes to us and gives us a good idea of what qualifies you to write, where you are in the writing process, if you're done or still in process, and gives us some of those basic facts. And then we have an opportunity then to call or talk with our prospective authors and work that way. A lot of our authors are coming through referrals now that we've been at it about 15 years. So that gives us an opportunity to kind of continue the relationship with people that we already know.
And is it fair to say that you probably don't take everybody that fills out that?
That's true. That yeah.
Form?
Yeah.
So you
some people come
are selective. And they just don't have right. the background or the expertise or.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to have a certain level of engagement already with their tribe, their mm-hmm. audience, and
a platform.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's not essential, but and we can help build that too. Mm-hmm. But we want them to be successful and know that they'll be able to recoup their costs. That's very important to us. That we're responsible and that they're responsible. And so if they don't feel like they're going to be able to sell enough copies, and that's a relatively low number to cover their costs, then it's probably not a good fit. Or if they have a book that's 16 pages, let's say, and we get a lot of books like that, then that just doesn't fit mm-hmm. us very well. That's probably something you want to self-publish. So so there are lots of different ways that we might say no, but we try to say yes as much as we can.
Well, and I'd like to say that even if you do say yes all the time, there's still that bar which helps readers look at that book and say, oh yes, this somebody else has said yes to this project.
That's a good point. That's very true too. Yes.
And that's something that is valuable to authors that
right.
you know.
Yep.
Yeah, they, that can't be got.
Mm-hmm. They become part of our family and become part of our catalog on Credo House, and so mm-hmm. And that's one of the ways we market is through our online catalog.
I think you said something about agents or yeah. agency. What role do agents play in your process? Are you picking people up, for instance, at writers' conferences through agents, or
occasionally? We don't require an agent like a traditional publisher does.
Okay.
There's just no other way to get into a traditional publisher except by an agent. But we have a lot of authors who come directly to us, usually through referral. And that referral is almost as good as an agent. In a
yes.
So they're already kind of vetted. And that referring person, whether it's somebody at another publishing house or another agent, or another author, know what we do. They know the needs of the author and feel like we might be a good match. So that's how we move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're our first agent on here. So do you want to talk a little bit about agenting? And
we get authors who come in two different ways. Some, mm-hmm. some want an agent and know exactly what they need. They've gone to our submission page on credocommunications.org .org and then .net mm-hmm. credocommunications.net, and then they can look at the submissions, see what we're doing and what we're not doing. For instance, we do fiction, but we don't do sci-fi mm-hmm. or fantasy. So there are certain lanes that we're best suited for. And I have two other agents who work with me. I just met together with them today over a meal. And Pete Ford is our newest agent. He's working with fiction primarily mm-hmm. and some nonfiction. Karen Neumeyer has been with us now for 10 years and almost 11. And she is working with a lot of our women's authors. And then I work with everybody else. I do a little bit of fiction, but I do mostly nonfiction on the thoughtful side. Mm-hmm. So with an agent, you need your samples, you need your proposals, just all the things that a publisher would need mm-hmm. are the things that we need as well. So but we have about currently about 85 active authors, and that always changes, and we're continuing to grow with the addition of Pete Ford. So we're well situated that way, and have great relationships with all the major and a lot of mid-sized and smaller Christian publishers as well.
You said you've been at this for 15 years. I assume you've seen some significant changes in that time.
Yeah.
I wonder if you'd like to talk about that. And then what what you see coming down the pike in the mm-hmm. future for publishing, because it just continues to really change. And so as editors, we feel like that's an area we need to be mm-hmm. aware of to
yeah, we're often
anticipate.
Yeah, we're often the first contact point for authors into the world of publishing, and trying to make sure that they're getting good information is really important to us.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. I've actually been at it for 40 years, but 15 years with my own companies, the agency and the publishing house, and the previous 25 years with mostly with Zondervan and in the traditional publishing space. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've been on both sides of that equation. And I think the biggest change, I think, over the years is that in the olden days, I guess we would say, publishers had more of an appetite to go after unknown authors mm-hmm. and people with no platform but a great message and good writing. So that was something that they were willing to invest in and develop over time. And I think of people like Philip Yancey and Chuck Swindoll, people who have written dozens of books by now. Today, they might actually have a hard time getting a book deal. Authors have to come with their own audience in order to be attractive to publishers. So the equation looks something like this. It's kind of an axiom. If you need a publisher to get your book to other people, they don't want you. But if you don't need a publisher and you already have a large following, they want you. Mm-hmm. So that's just the way it works. So you really
kind of like when you need, if you want a loan from the bank, right?
That's right.
You have to prove you don't need it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've got to have money in order to get a loan so, mm-hmm. and be able to pay that off. So yeah, no, that's just the way it's changed, I think, over the last probably 20 or 30 years that has been continuing to happen. And it's a logical thing, since back then we had literally thousands of bookstores and we had no Amazon. So people had to go to bookstores. They were discovering things that way. And it was a more organic process. There were more speaking engagements. There was more interaction between authors and readers. Today, it's mostly social media. It is driven by other kinds of things, because Amazon is the thing and there are very few bookstores left. Mm-hmm. In fact, there are really no major Christian chains left, with Lifeway and Family Christian Stores going out of business. So that's just the reality. And that's what publishers have to deal with. So they're trying to figure out, how do we sell our books online and get to our authors directly rather than through a bookstore, since mm-hmm. that's not an option anymore. So that's one reason why it's changed.
Mm-hmm. So I know that your marketing is, well, I've already said it's more responsive maybe than traditional marketing, but I've seen you guys work with some people that don't have what I would say a traditional publisher would call a platform, but it works. They sell enough books to sell out. So could you define some of those things that you work with that a traditional publisher might not work with?
On the marketing side?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yep. We do a number of things, and we work with partners. There are certain things that we do to make our book available, to make their book available online. We set them up on Amazon, and we can help them with Amazon ads and other kinds of features that way. And that's really one of the most effective ways to do it. We can also work with them and a publicist or a marketing person and really kind of do what makes the most sense for them. We have a spreadsheet that has literally everything you could possibly think of that would help a person decide what they need to do. Some authors, for instance, don't want to speak, and other authors want to speak as much as they can. So every author comes with a certain skill and bent in terms of their temperament and what they can do. And so we begin there. We start with what they're already good at and help them boost that, or help them with the things that they're not very good at. Very few people are good at everything. Mm-hmm. So those who like to speak may not be good at social media, and vice versa. So we really try to work, starting with what they're good at and then helping them get stronger where they're strong and strengthen where they're weak.
It sounds like you have a much more custom-made approach.
Very much.
It seems like traditional publishers look at how do I sell this book, whereas you are looking at how do I make this author successful.
That's true. That's a good way to put it. And I think there is a tendency with traditional publishers to kind of check off the kinds of things that they do for every author when it really doesn't make sense necessarily. I'll give you a good example. We're working with a lot of African-American authors and women of color. The traditional Christian publisher has a really hard time reaching that audience very well. So African-American and Hispanic women, indigenous women as well, Native Americans, are publishing and want to write, and they have their own group, but publishers are not serving them well in because they have almost a one-size-fits-all approach to marketing. Typically, unless you're really an A-list author and you're a Joel Osteen or someone like that. So that's one, for instance, that where you can really see the difference between somebody who knows how to market and make it custom and really serve them well, rather than just go through marketing activities that may or may not really help them with what they're trying to do.
I think that the marketing is one of the things that trips up a lot of authors that I hear about, or at least that they're really surprised how, even if they go traditionally, how much marketing they're expected to do for their own product. That's probably a big change, one of the bigger changes in the traditional publishing in the last 20 years or so.
Yeah.
A lot of people come to me and they think they want traditional publishers because they think, I don't want to do the marketing. Right. And I'm like, I've got bad news.
And you better not say that to your publisher either.
Yeah,
they need you to be out there pushing as hard. And in fact, I talked to a salesperson from the largest Christian publisher in the world and asked him, of all the books that are sold by an author through this traditional publisher, how many would you guess have been sold because of the author's efforts and how many have been sold because of the publisher's efforts? And he said it's about 90-10. About 90% what the author did and about 10% and he was in sales and marketing at this large firm. So it either way, you're going to have to market the book if you want to be successful and find readers. The financial reward is better when you self-publish or custom publish. Because with a traditional publisher, you're only going to get about 15% typically. So you're getting a little tip from that publisher, and they're getting the lion's share. So that's when you start to look at the numbers, people begin to pay attention because they can see, hey, I can actually make money doing that. And, for some people, that's not a goal. It's not a mark of success. Everybody has their way of measuring what success is for their book. But if you do want to make money, it's not through traditional publishing.
Yeah. Not right now. No. Right. I mean, unless you get big.
Well, Annie Dillard said that there are more people who have walked on the moon than who have made a living by writing.
Yeah.
that's pretty true.
That's disappointing to hear, isn't it?
Well, even Cynthia Rookte, who's a pretty big name, she doesn't make her living off of writing only. Right. It's one part of what she does. She also does editing, and she's an agent, and she speaks. And
it's a good example.
I have a question I ask all of our guests, which is, if you could tell every writer just one thing, what would that one thing be?
It's probably the same for a lot of people in my position, who coach and agent and do other things, but I would say persevere. It just really takes, one step at a time. It takes a really clear vision to know what you're about and what you're really called to do. But once you feel you have a really clear sense of what you're called to do, what your message is, there's so many obstacles and so many people saying, no, you can't, or no, you shouldn't. You really do just have to press into it and keep going. Perseverance is the most important thing.
Absolutely. I tell a lot of my clients that, yes, publishing houses turn down X amount of manuscripts, but everyone is submitting all of their manuscripts to every publishing house.
Right.
So it's not that they're turning down that many authors. It's actually less than you think.
Right.
And if you're the one who sticks around and makes changes and keeps it up, you will get published eventually.
Really true. I believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you're the person who could really say you've actually had a lot of experience on the other side of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the passionate encourager. You're the person with the hard data.
Right. Right.
All right. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
All right, guys. If you want to look at more about Tim, you can look up Credo Communications. That's C-R-E-D-O. I'll try and have a link in the description as well. And there is both his agency. I don't know how you say that. And then he also has his publishing company. And you may have noticed that I'm a big fan of his, but I've had several very happy customers. So I cannot recommend him enough. And next week, we're going to be talking with another publisher. So you can look forward to that. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening.
And don't forget to turn on Track Changes.